Hello and welcome back to the Jag Bros. I'm one of your hosts, JT Raymond, alongside my two brothers, Jack and Joey. We got a taste of football this past weekend where the Jaguars brought home that preseason victory, 28-23 in Dallas. Boys, you guys were there. How was the experience?
It was a lot of fun. And hey, I've hated a little bit on the Cowboys on the podcast before. I will give the Cowboys credit. They were fun fans. The stadium was actually pretty packed. It's the most full I've seen a preseason game, but it was fun. And it's always fun to have a Jaguars win as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention, was just how many people are there at this preseason game. I mean, there was more people than sometimes at Jags regular season games. It was almost completely packed at the stadium. It was a really good atmosphere, really good time. And yeah, the Cowboys did a really good job hosting the Jaguars and us. There were quite a lot of Jags fans. We travel pretty well. I was very excited to see everyone, and it was a great game.
Well, I love hearing that Jag Nation is starting to spread and Jag Fever is starting to spread even before the season. And really shout out to all of our listeners here and wide. We actually picked up Africa. A couple folks in Africa started listening to us. So appreciate you guys, as well as our folks there in the Southeast Asia and Germany, I think continues to go strong. So shout out to all of you guys. We've got an exciting episode today. We're going to first take a trip down memory lane with some of my old Facebook posts. As you may have heard from one of the previous episodes, I have been notorious for ranting and raving occasionally about the Jaguars, both on the highs and the lows. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to break down the preseason game, talk about some of our overall thoughts, what we thought of the offense, the defense, anything that that really jumped out at us throughout the game. And then we'll give you a quick preview for the Lions preseason game next weekend. So full episode here today, and let's get started.
Yeah, as we do, I just want to give a special shout out. We always love getting to read your five-star reviews. So grateful for many of y'all who've already done that. If you haven't, seriously, that encourages us, helps us with the algorithm to reach more Jaguars fans, as JT mentioned, literally all over the world, which is still crazy to me that we're downloaded in five continents. That's pretty amazing. But here's the review from my good buddy. We went to college together outside Chicago. He is a diehard Packers fan. And but this is what he said, true gold is from Pack Zach. He said, I wish I could believe in myself the way that these boys believe in the Jags. Even if their predictions are sometimes outlandish, and there's certainly still a high chance the Jaguars finish at 8-9, this lifelong Packers fan will be rooting for Jacksonville just to hear the Jag Bros reaction. You guys are the best. And so, speaking of outlandish predictions, JT, are you ready to play one of our fan favorite games? And that is read off one of your Facebook posts, and you're going to guess the year. You ready, JT?
All right, let's go.
This is a special preseason episode of this game.
That's right. Yeah. So this will be from the month of August. And JT, if you will guess the year, we will let you know if you are right or close, and then we'll let you know how the Jaguars finished the season. So I'll go first, and then Joey, you'll give us another one. All right, so this is what you posted sometime in August, August 20th. Well, sports fans, after months of radio silence since the draft, all I have to say is all caps, wow. The Jaguars are a legit threat this year. After watching the first half of the preseason game, I do not see a way we miss the playoffs this year. Dominating defensive line, secondary, running attack, and our passing game should be a top 10 air attack this year. I'm all in, with a bunch of exclamation points and hashtag Super Bowl maybe. So JT, what year do you think this was?
Oh man, if I'm excited about the passing attack, It couldn't possibly be a Blake Bortles or a Blaine Gabbert year. So I'm going to guess it's the Henny year, or maybe even the year that the Foles year before he ended up getting injured there in week one. I'm going to go with maybe 2018.
Close. So this was actually in 2016. And unfortunately, the Jaguars did not make the playoffs that year. That was one of our, unfortunately, many rough years of the past. We finished 3-13. And that first half of the preseason game was not a good telling of the future for the Jaguars that season.
That was also a Blake Bortles season.
That was a Blake Bortles season. Okay, so maybe I chastised him.
You're hating on the boat.
I was still a little bit optimistic about what Blake Bortles could bring, obviously, at that time.
Alrighty, I have a post on the opposite spectrum for you, JT, on August 30th. The Jaguars may be the worst run professional sports team in the history of professional sports team. Ugh. Over a decade of subpar decision-making from coaches, players, management, and ownership. As a completely frustrated, even with ardent fans, I have concluded that the cons have ruined this franchise. Over the weekend, we have traded Ngakoue, who is 25 years old, has the second most sacks in franchise history. We also cut Leonard Fournette, who had over 1,600 yards last year! Exclamation point.
That was a really low moment. I can remember that. None of the decisions made any sense. I think that was 2019, because I think it was the year before the pandemic. And then obviously Fournette went on to win a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers and clearly had some juice left in the tank. So yeah, is that a right?
No, it is 2020. You were just off.
But you were right, JT, about that prediction, because we know all too well how bad that 2020 season was, where we finished with just one win. So that was pretty impressive prediction there.
Yeah, you know, the highs and lows and trying to read the tea leaves of preseason is going to be very difficult. I think I heard a stat that said the Jaguars in their last 12 preseason games are 2-10. And both of those wins came against the Cowboys, who are notorious for sitting a lot of their starters. So I don't know how much we can read into the preseason, but I can tell you one thing. I am very excited about what I saw on the field this past weekend.
Yes, and talking about what we saw last weekend, we're going to start off with the game recaps. I'm going to start it off with the offensive good. There was a lot of good going on in this game. You had Nathan O'Rourke. I'll start off with the most obvious, the play that went viral, him breaking four tackles, and as he's getting brought down, sets his feet, throws a strike for a perfect touchdown. We have a very good backup quarterback. I believe that he's going to have an even better preseason the next two games, and I have a prediction that he will become the new second string quarterback, sending CJ Beathard to the third string. I believe we'll keep all three quarterbacks, especially with the new rule where you can have a emergency third quarterback that won't count against your roster spot. So I think definitely we'll keep all three of those quarterbacks. It looks very promising. This is the first time I think we've had a backup quarterback that's actually worth something.
I hear what you're saying there, Joey, but I also want to pump the brakes a little bit. The play, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's an amazing play. It looks like something Patrick Mahomes or Ben Roethlisberger back in his prime, or any of these guys who have both the escapability and the ability to break tackles and keep their eyes downfield. Beautiful play. But man, how many times have we been sucked into thinking that the second or third string quarterback was a potential stud, only to realize that our starter gets looks horrible. We bring in the other guy and he's somehow even worse. So I agree with you. He was refreshing seeing depth at that position that we have. And I think he is a viable option. But I wouldn't read too much into his ability to play at this level, playing against Dallas's third and fourth string.
Oh, hold on. I'm not saying he's taking Trevor Lawrence's spot here. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's at least a competent backup quarterback, because I wasn't so keen on CJ Beathard, but I'm actually a little excited now for Nathan. And for my hopes, that is, he actually never throws a pass on the regular season. That means Trevor Lawrence played every play. So even if he's really good, I hope he never sees the field.
It's definitely a cool story coming from the Canadian Football League to now the NFL here in Jacksonville, whether he's going to be number two, number three. Definitely a very cool, amazing highlight play. Certainly going to be one of the best highlights of the preseason. In fact, I know you compared him there a second ago, JT, to Mahomes. And how cool is it for Mahomes to be retweeting our number two, number three quarterback saying that he was impressed with the play? So anytime you can impress the best quarterback in the league, that's pretty cool. But to your point, JT, it was in the fourth quarter where it's either the third or the fourth string of the Cowboys defense. So, yeah, don't want to see him necessarily in the regular season because we want to ride with Trevor Lawrence. But it was cool. It was fun play, an incredible play. And it's just a cool story. So all the best to Nathan.
Exactly. And, I mean, you can tell he's a well-liked guy because they actually had his play up on the Jumbotron in Canada where all his old teammates were watching him and cheering him on. So he's obviously well-liked. So it's really nice to see that we have good quality depth there. And then another place that we have really good quality depth are the wide receivers. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talking about training camp that it's the best wide receiver core that we've ever had and it's the deepest that we have ever had. And I was a little skeptical, but man, Jacob Harris's catch, the 42-yard bomb diving catch, incredible. Tim Jones did a really good job. Elijah Cooks all did really, really good. There was one guy who had a few drops. Hopefully that he does better in the preseason. I don't want to completely write him off, but I mean, it's very promising wide receiver core. I was trying to see what six we would keep. And I mean, I don't know. This is going to be such a tough decision for the coaches.
I heard this morning Tony Baselli on 1010XL talking about the fact that some of our fifth and sixth wide receiver on this team could have probably been our number one receiver in some of the years past, talking about the Mike Sims Walker, Cecil Shorts, Mike Thomas era. I think some of the guys that you just rattled off there, Joey, would certainly have competed for them for a starting position. And it just speaks to the depth that we have at this position and really across the board. I'm curious, though, from your guys' perspective, anything catch your eye from the offensive side positively with our starters?
Anton Harrison, I was watching him a lot. He looked at least comfortable back there, looked pretty confident. It wasn't the biggest showing, but I liked what I saw, and he wasn't like blowing plays and wasn't running around like with his head cut off. So I was very pleased with what I saw with Anton Harrison.
Yeah, the guy I was definitely watching, not necessarily in the starting group, but who's going to certainly see a lot of playing time is Tank Bigsby. I know that Andrew Holzhauser shared on our Instagram that he's watching him as well, expecting a breakout year for him to give ETN. He shared that he can spell ETN, good in short yardage, and I was very impressed with him and our whole running back core. That's another position that we have a great depth, just like wide receivers. And what I was super impressed with was our ability to bounce runs on the outside. As you were pointing out, Joey Harrison had a good game. Our tackles overall were very strong, and most of our big runs in that game all came bouncing that run to the outside. So well played by our offensive tackles. Good vision, good work by all of our running backs who played, ETN, Johnson, and Bigsby. Really impressive.
Agreed. The only thing I would call out, in addition to what you guys have said from our starters, was I thought the conversion on fourth and three and then the two-point conversion there, back-to-back plays with Trevor Lawrence were huge. I think we talked about this last episode, but Jacksonville was a below-average team in the red zone touchdown efficiency perspective. So we're 19th, where we averaged 53%. So meaning every other time we were in the red zone, we would actually score a touchdown. For reference, the Cowboys were 71st. A lot of the other better teams are doing that every two out of three times, so 66% or higher. And so for us to go 1-for-1 inside the red zone with the starters, I thought was great. I thought there was a great pass, a great design play. And then even though the two-point conversion is just a two-point conversion, I still think that was Fantastic to see Trevor step up in a somewhat clutch position inside the 10-yard line with the windows tighter and still be able to complete back-to-back passes there. So shout out to those two plays. I thought were pretty impactful.
Yeah, that was a beautiful two-point conversion. Great throw, putting it only where Zay Jones could get it in the back of the end zone, and then great catch by Zay Jones as well. I also want to give a shout-out to Brenton Strange. He got a few reps with the first team as the blocking tight end, and some of those bounced outside runs also came because of Brenton Strange blocked really well. I was very surprised with his blocking. He had a pancake block in one of the plays. He did have one holding call at the very beginning, but he never had another one. So I was glad to see that he seemed to rectify that mistake. And I'm very pleased at how he performed.
I think the jury's still out on him. You guys already know if you've listened to past episodes, I've got my concerns, red flags with Strange. Glad to hear he blocked well. But to me, if you're a tight end and if you're going to see a lot of the field, you've got to make a difference in the passing attack. And for a decent amount of playing time to have two catches, 8 yards, still not exciting. It's preseason. It's early. It's a long season, but he's got to be more involved there for me to really get excited about a second round pick.
Yeah. And speaking of things that you're not very excited about was the inners of the offensive line, the offensive guards and center. There still isn't any sort of push for the running. We have really great running backs. Travis Etienne looks great. Tank Bigsby looks great. I mean, all four of them, Jamichael Hasty, Dearness Johnson. But just because you have great running backs, if we don't have an offensive line that can run block, they're going to struggle this year. We lined up with a third and one, just like we have a lot of times last season. We needed it for the first down. We didn't get it. And it's just kind of disappointing that we're still not being able to get that push in the run game.
And Joey, I'll pile on there. Tank was actually stuffed three times in short yardage situations because he also played a little bit with Beathard in the second quarter inside the five, and he was stuffed back-to-back plays before they ended up doing the QB option and the option keeper and ran around the corner. But you called out the offensive line. I don't know if that was more Tank Bigsby or the offensive line getting the push against the backup defensive line of the Cowboys, but it was concerning that as awesome as Tank looked in open field, I didn't really see him get the conversions there in the short yardage situation that I think we were hoping for. So if we're expecting him to be like a Leonard Fournette and kind of automatic and from a third and one perspective, I'm not quite sure he is going to live up to those type of expectations.
I think that Joey is right on with the offensive line, because certainly Bigsby got stuffed multiple times, but each of our guys, I don't think we had a big run up the middle. I don't know that we had one longer than 4 or 5 yards up the middle. So if you look at the offense as a whole, that's the only question mark going forward. I would say, especially for me, very confident in the quarterback position, running back, wide receiver, tight end, but the offensive line, that's the only thing that can hold us back from being a really dominant top three, top five offense in the league.
Yeah, and granted, I don't want to be too hard on the offensive line because we were playing without two of our starting offensive guards. Ben Barge was still hurt, and Tyler Shatley was out with his AFib that he had suffered during practice. So we were going with our third string guard. So I don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but the lack of depth at guard is a little concerning, because what I saw from the backup offensive line wasn't great.
And Joey, you said we're getting a couple of those guys back this week, right?
Yes. Ben Barch actually was just activated today off the PUP list, which is really nice. And Tyler Shatley should be ready to go, hopefully, by Detroit Lions. If they said not, then he will be definitely ready by the third game for the preseason.
Awesome. Was there any other bad stuff that you guys saw offensively?
There was a big glaring problem right from the get-go, and that was starting slow again. I was really hopeful that the first drive we were going to come out hot. We were going up against their second string defense, and we start off with a screen pass and then a Trevor Lawrence interception. granted, watching Trevor Lawrence throw that pass, it didn't seem like in a regular game he probably would have thrown that pass. It was a preseason. He felt like he might as well just try to thread the needle, but it was forced. It wasn't a great pass. Interception right away, bad start, just sounds like the Jaguars last year. I want a fast start from the Jags.
So I watched that interception about 10 times from a bunch of different angles because I was trying to figure out where the breakdown was, who made the potential mistake. And it seems to me, and I don't know because I wasn't in the offensive huddle and I don't know what play was called, but it seemed to be that someone ran the wrong route, whether that was Ridley, who ended up getting a little bit too deep, or Ingram going over. Obviously, the play had broken down a little bit because the initial pass was not there. But I think the pass was actually to Ridley, who was the underneath guy. And it was actually Ingram's guy that picked it off. And so it would have been interesting if you didn't have the congestion there. It's probably either incomplete or it's a possible, a great catch by Calvin Ridley. So I'm not really going to say that that's too bad for Trevor, especially in the preseason. I think this is absolutely the time to put something like that on film, to learn, especially if it's a wide receiver issue where Ridley was not supposed to go as deep.
Yeah, I watched that play develop. Luckily, I was behind that end zone, so I got a good look. And it felt to me that Trevor was just late on the throw. If he had thrown it right on Calvin Ridley's break, he was wide open over the middle. But by the time that he had gotten to the sideline, Evan Ingram's defender had both of them covered. And you could tell Trevor was like thinking about, should I throw this or throw it away? I think during a regular game, he probably would have thrown it away. But since it's a preseason game, he was like, I might as well throw it, try to see what I can do.
Yeah, it is definitely something to watch. And I'm glad you brought that up, Joey, because it is, if there's a big weakness of Lawrence's game so far in 2 years and still a very young quarterback here in Jacksonville, is that he is a notoriously slow starter. Even just the season as a whole last year obviously started very slow. And even when we picked up pace, there would still be a lot of first halves that he would look rusty. Even I would say all the way back to Clemson, where they would have to come back a lot of times, have some heroic comebacks in his national championship run. So as far as progression, that is something that we need to see when the regular season starts. Let's get a fast start. Let's get a good start to the season. Let's get some good, strong first halves going forward for Lawrence and just for the offense as a whole, for sure.
So, yeah, if you were wondering why the Jaguars weren't kicking any field goals or extra points, it's because actually our long snapper got injured, and so there's no one to snap the ball to the kicker.
Yeah, we were trying to get Joey to go out there and snap it so we could see McManus kick some 50, 60 yarders, but didn't happen. But yeah, it was fun to watch him go for fourth down and go for some 2-point conversions.
Oh, I would have looked out like a twig out there with all those grown men.
I'm pretty sure there's a rule that says you can't touch the long snapper, so you might have been okay, Joey.
That is true, yeah. I mean, normally you don't see injuries to a long snapper. It actually happened during that return fumble. He was going after the ball and it got hurt.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a rule that as long as the long snapper does not actually make a football play, that nobody can actually touch him. But I could be mistaken there, but I do know over the years they've tried to put some things in to protect him because we saw firsthand in the preseason, and fortunately it wasn't a regular season game where points matter. So that's great. Love the offensive breakdown. Let's shift our focus now to the defense. Probably a little bit less takeaways from this game. We were certainly playing against all of the backups for Dallas. None of their stars were playing. Dak did not play. Tony Pollard did not play. CeeDee Lamb did not play. And so you weren't getting a true apples to apples comparison on what the defense is able to do. But I think from just at a high level, one of the nice things to see is there wasn't this massive drop off, especially from the starters, because there's been some years where you all of a sudden get to the second string and you're like, woof, like, I don't know if these guys would even be on an NFL team. And these guys are one injury away from seeing significant playing time. So that, I think, is a really good overall takeaway. But what were some of the takeaways that you guys had on the positive side on the defense, either individuals or just overall thoughts?
I'll start with the overall. It looks like we are going to be an aggressive defense going after the ball. I love seeing that they weren't just tackling the player, they were tackling the ball. We saw two forced fumbles, interception, sacks. It looks like we are going to be very aggressive. We may give up some big plays, but we won't quit even on the one. We'll still go for that strip, and we saved ourselves giving up a touchdown because of it.
Yeah, I would love to see us cause some more turnovers this year. In particular, two rookies that we as a whole, I think all three of us have been really high on in past episodes and just hanging out, talking about the Jags, has been Yasir Abdullah and Antonio Johnson. Yes, sir. And so seeing both those guys out there and really playing very well was awesome to see. So Johnson led the team in tackles, had some great heads up plays. Abdullah with a very nice sack and was about a half step away from another sack. He had a run stuff right at the line of scrimmage. Was very impressed to see both these. I think for both them, they deserved and played well enough that they're going to see some playing time in the regular season.
Yeah, you guys are spot on. I think we had four sacks. Devon Hamilton, Yasir, Ventrell Miller, another rookie with a sack in the fourth quarter, and Jeremiah Ledbetter all got in the backfield, which is exciting to see. Not a whole lot of flashes, I would say, from our starting defense. However, they did shut down at least the backup Dallas team from really moving the ball successfully at all, especially stopping the run. There's one play where Lloyd and Allen were both a part of a tackle where they held the edge, which I think that was comforting. And Joey, I think you're spot on the fact that we were able to be consistently good tacklers. We didn't look sloppy. I think is at least some wins that we could take from that team.
Definitely. And one thing I did see, I really liked in the first string of defense was there was a really good safety blitz by Cisco that led to that sack. And I like seeing the aggressiveness of Mike Caldwell. I like seeing the safety blitz. We saw that against the Titans last year with Rashawn Jenkins with the strip sack. So love seeing the safety blitz. I want to see some linebacker blitzing, mixing it up, not just having the edge guys, because obviously our edge isn't that deep.
Yeah, Cisco's a guy that I've been high on that I thought performed well, but I'll be the first to say that there's a guy that I've been high on publicly on the podcast that I think I'm going to go ahead and say and publicly admit that it's definitely been a swing and a miss. So if you look at the box score, there are 26 guys on the Jaguars defense that recorded some sort of defensive play. And there's one guy that is a very glaring miss, and that's Chaisson, that had a zero box score. And so no tackles, no pass deflections, no QB rushes. And so I'm jumping on JT's bandwagon. I'm publicly admitting I was wrong. I don't even know if this guy's going to make the team anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, too, that the Jags are feeling that way a little bit, too. They just had Clowney in. We want to see if maybe we can get a veteran rusher, because Chaisson might as well have stayed on the bench. He did nothing. He's being outshined by a fifth-round rookie. Like, he was taken in the first round. They keep singing his praises, saying he's getting so much better, yet we're not seeing it. He's had 3 years and three sacks. Like, I think it's over for him. It's time to close the book.
I tried to tell you guys over the summer, the only thing you guys are trying to say he's a breakout player, the only thing that he would be doing is fighting for a roster spot, is what I said back then. Cut him. I mean, he was the 20th overall pick, so a mid-round, first round in 2020. This is absolutely a year you'd want to start seeing some production, but even when he is on the field, he's completely blown out of the play. I heard there's practice reports where he was getting beat by pretty much every single one of our tackles. He brought nothing to the table, and to your point, Jack, you, Chaisson, and Joey all had the same amount of defensive plays on the field there Saturday, which was zero. keep an eye on him, especially if he's playing in the third and fourth quarter in these last two preseason games, because you know what that means? That means he truly is fighting for a roster spot, even though he's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Smith, first time playing on the field in 2 years because he's been hurt for both his two seasons, season injuries gone. First time on the field in 2 years, has a tackle for a loss, looked way better than Chaisson. At least we knew he was on the field. Like, ugh, it's really bad. And the fact that the coaches were trying to hype him up, I don't know what they were thinking, because he looked worse than our fifth string edge guy.
Yep, I definitely drank the Kool-Aid and was 100% wrong. Yeah, watching him, he was invisible, blocked every play, was not involved in any tackle. Again, a zero box score is embarrassing. The only other concern I saw on defense, and would be curious y'all's thoughts on this, was I definitely noticed, which has been a reoccurring pattern for us in the past, it felt like the middle of the field is still open against our defense. Did you guys see that as well?
Oh, I saw that. I saw that Shaq Quarterman can't cover anybody. The man, he can run block, I mean run stop, he can fill the gap in the hole, but he can't cover. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know where the wide receivers are. I mean, he's just out there as a chicken with his head cut off. He has no reason to be a middle linebacker because he can't cover. And as a middle linebacker, you have to be able to do both.
Yeah, it's hard to take a lot from that game, because there just wasn't a good proficient quarterback that was going to really challenge it, and we didn't see a ton of the first string defense. There was a play where the tight end slips out and they kind of split the zone there to get a first down in the first possession of the game, but then after that they kind of clamped down. So I think it's a concern, but I don't know if it's something that we should be reading too much into at this time. But it was obviously a concern last year, as Travis Kelce goes for 12 receptions and 130 yards or whatever it was against us in Kansas City.
Definitely. And yeah, that wasn't Foyer and Lloyd. I don't know how well they're going to cover. They didn't really get a good shot at covering anyone in the middle. But yeah, the third string Shaq Quarterman cannot cover the middle.
All right, well, let's wrap up the review with this. What would you guys give the overall grade to the Jaguars on their 28-23 win over the Cowboys in the preseason?
I would say A-. We pretty much shut them out in the first half. There's not a whole this is like an A- on a quiz. When it's in, there's like a pop quiz and you got an A- on it, and at the end of the day it's not going to really affect your overall grade in the class, because it's so meaningless, because you're playing against the backups in Dallas clearly did not game plan for this. I think historically when Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator, they specifically gave him the entire month off so that he could game plan for the first month of the season. So, I mean, A-, because we saw some things that we liked. There are some players that made a difference in the game. We were able to convert on some of those, and we shut him down and shut him out in the first half of the game, but not something that I think is created any level of concern or overhype at this point.
I think you're being a tad bit generous. I would give him a solid B. One of the best performances in preseason that the Jags have ever put up, but I still like to see more. I like to see a faster start, especially with our starters against their second string. I wanted to see Trevor absolutely wallop them, and he didn't, which is a little bit of concern, but I'm not going to put too much into it. It's just preseason. And then also some glaring issues with the interior offensive line and some of the over-the-middle coverage, as Jack pointed out earlier as well. Some simple things that maybe are able to fix with Ben Barge coming back and Tyler Shatley, and also Trevor Lawrence actually just playing a real game. But as of right now, yeah, I have to go with a solid B.
I'm going to go ahead and give us an A. I agree with some of the concerns, but I think the Jaguars, for me, checked off boxes that I wanted to see. I guess because I don't have very many concerns about our first string offense, especially who knows where Trevor's headspace is, knowing, hey, I'm only going to play one or two drives as a backup defense. And so I didn't put a ton of stock into that other than just in the back of my mind, something to watch. But I was very impressed by the way a lot of our rookies played, from Bigsby to Abdullah to even seeing Ventrell Miller out there. Was great to see him get a sack after not getting to play a lot of training camp because of injuries. And then another rookie I like to see, and I think he's got a good shot of making the team, was Parker Washington, with a very strong punt return game, some solid returns. And so it's not flashy. I love the analogy, JT, of a pop quiz. It's not going to move your grade much, but there wasn't any major red flags. There are some things that I think you point out, Joey, of, hey, let's just keep an eye out for. And speaking of keeping an eye out for, so we're getting ready, of course, for our second preseason game. That's going to be this Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. The Jaguars are traveling up to Detroit today. Going to have some combined practices with them the next couple days. And then they will face off on Saturday, August 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern. What are y'all looking for? What do you have your eyes out for in this second preseason game for the Jaguars?
I want to see repetition on the rookies that played really well. I want to see Yasir do it again next game. I want to see another sack. I want to see a few more tackles, maybe for losses. Antonio Johnson, I want to see him maybe go after an interception. Did really good with tackling, really good open field tackling. But I want to see consistency. I don't want it to be one game and all of a sudden they're not there the next game. I want to see some consistency from the backups to see if they are ready for the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. I want to see definitely our rookies add on to this previous game. And I would go ahead and just add on your word there, Joey, of consistency. I thought our pass rush looked really strong, which was a weaker area for us last year. And so getting four sacks in that Cowboys game was great. Can we get after the quarterback again? First string, second string, third string, because you want to see all these guys get in there and get after the quarterback. And so that's going to be something that I'm watching for sure. What does our pass rush look like against the Lions this week? What about you, JT?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I'm looking for this Saturday against the Lions. Now, traditionally, the second game is the game where you see the starters the most. You see them for a couple series in week one. You will not see them at all in week three. Now, there are certain teams that will say, you know what, we're going to rest our starters for the entire preseason. I think Joe Burrow's done that now for the last two seasons. Other teams, McVay has done that with the Rams. And obviously Dallas seems to be doing that as well. So traditionally, we should see the starters for at least a quarter. I don't know what the depth chart's going to look like. I also know it's a little bit more convoluted this year because we are playing a couple of practices, live practices with Detroit later this week. So we might not see them as much as we want. So certainly something to keep our mind out. But Doug Peterson historically has been one to play his starters for at least a few series in the second game. And so the things that I'm really looking forward to is especially on the defensive side. It's some of the things we've already talked about. It's covering over the middle and it is the pass rush. For two reasons why I think this is important and keep your eyes on for Detroit. Number one, Detroit has a pretty good offensive line. So are we still being able to generate that same level of pass rush that we saw against Dallas's backups? Number two, Amon-Ra typically plays in the slot. So if he's playing, he's certainly going to be giving our corners and linebackers some level of difficulty there trying to cover the middle of the field. And then I think number three is Jahmyr Gibbs is their stud rookie running back out of Alabama, who's known as a pass catching back. And so that's been another area where the Jags defense has historically struggled. So are we able to cover a guy who is a true playmaker coming out of the backfield? Cover him would be something that I would be keeping my eye on. Offensively, I think it's just more of the same. If you guys do what you did against Dallas, I am fairly satisfied. It'd be great to see us start a little bit faster, as Joey said, but there's a lot of things that go on into that. You're not always trying to tip your hand in the preseason. So nobody get hurt on offense. I think I'm satisfied there, but there's a couple of questions that still linger on the defensive side.
Yeah, no injuries would be great. And here's what I'm also looking forward to is keep the win streak alive. So if we win 22 games in a row, we will be 2023 Super Bowl champions. So let's keep the win streak rolling on Saturday.
Definitely. And I want to open it up. What is one surprise player that you want to watch?
Positively, it's Yasser. And negatively, it's Chaisson.
Yeah, I'll go a little bit more of a wild card because I just haven't heard much about him, and that is Ventrell Miller. And so I remember you and I were sitting there watching the game, Joe, and we're like, is he back from injury? Is he going to play? And he got in at the very end, got a sack there in the fourth quarter against some backups. But I'm definitely going to be watching him just to see, hey, he's a fourth round pick. Let's see if he can do something in the second game. What about you, Joey?
Definitely. Yeah. I want to see some Ventrell Miller. You're right. I was curious of why he played so little. He didn't get in until the fourth quarter, but I'm going to be watching Jeremy Ledbetter. I think he had a really great preseason game against the Cowboys. He had a sack. He was really disruptive against some of their backup offensive line, but he could be a great addition to that D-line if he really comes into his own during this preseason. He can back up Roy Robinson-Harris, Fadakasi, or Hamilton. So being able to have that extra D lineman, and if he plays as good as he played last game, that'd be awesome.
It is just so awesome to be talking about football, to be talking about Jags football again. So fun. 26 days away from the regular season open. I love this. I hope you guys are fired up as well, everyone listening to this episode.
Definitely. We're going to wrap it up here. We are very excited for this Saturday. There is the Jags versus the Detroit Lions in Detroit at 1 p.m. Eastern Time or 12 p.m. Central Time, depending on where you're watching the game. And it's going to be on NFL Network on TV. And I hope that all y'all get to watch it. If you don't, you can just listen to our podcast on the next week. We'll go over what we saw again, and can't wait to hear from y'all. You can tweet at us some of your questions. We'll try to answer them. You can rate us 5 stars. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you consume your podcasts. We are so grateful for all your listens. We love our fans and love to hear from you more. We are signing off, as always.
Duval.